Welcome to the Ultimate Love Life Makeover, Dating Mastery for Women. I'm Cami Ellen, your host, and I'm so happy that you're here with us. Each day during our virtual summit, you are learning tools, tips from our world-class experts on all things related to dating and attraction. This wisdom will help you to date and relate with unshakable confidence and become a woman who can inspire a great love. We are all standing for you to create nothing less than lasting, luscious love, your ultimate love life makeover. So I'm really delighted to introduce my next guest expert, Joe Amoya, who will be talking today on the topic, how to screen men and find the right guy. And this is so important when it comes to dating mastery. I've heard from so many of you that you'd really like to learn more about how to meet a conscious man who is a match for your vision for love. This session's really going to support you to leave any struggle that you've been experiencing around this during the dating process behind and move forward into finding the right partner. So I'm excited to dive in. But first, let me tell you more about Joe. So Joe Amoya is a love life transformation specialist. He is author of the popular blog GPSforLove.com, which teaches women how to navigate the complex world of men, dating, and relationships, and his YouTube channel, which has been seen by over 3 million viewers worldwide. Joe is the co-host of the Truth About Love podcast, and he has been an ongoing contributor to the Huffington Post, DigitalRomanceTV.com, and YourTango.com. Joe has also been featured as a relationship expert on several episodes of the Style Network's number one reality television series, Jerseylicious. He's a student of many of the world's most recognized personal growth and development leaders. Joe has an unparalleled understanding of human behavior and the singular ability to help single women, and some men too, to identify, resolve, and overcome the obstacles which are preventing them from experiencing the results they're looking for in their love life. After a 17-year career as a successful chiropractor, Joe closed his practice in 2010 to dedicate his life to helping others find love, real love, the kind that lasts. He's happily married to his wife, Natalie, of 16 years, and they have 3 boys. And I'm so excited to welcome Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Cami, how are you? It's such an honor to be here with you today.
Oh, great. I'm so happy to have you with us. And why don't we get started by sharing with everybody, because you have a background of being a successful chiropractor, and then you've gone on to become America's leading love life transformation specialist. So can you give us a little bit about how you made that transition? How did that happen for you?
Sure, because we're limited on time, I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. Really, it was, I had struggled in my own love life. I was 28 days from walking down the aisle, making one of the biggest mistakes in my life, and I knew it. We're actually in therapy, you know, for anybody listening. Here's a telltale sign. If you're ever in therapy before you're married, that's like a big red
flag. That's a bad sign.
Right. But, you know, we were two people who really cared about each other and really tried to make the relationship work. And what I ultimately learned is we were two good people who weren't good for each other. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we both tried to stay and make that relationship work. And the truth is there were signs from the very beginning that it wasn't the right relationship. Mm-hmm. So as a result of that, I took some time off, took what I call mirror time, and took a good look at myself and go, like, what happened? Like, I knew I was miserable. I was telling the therapist, like, I shouldn't have to work this hard at a relationship. Uh-huh. And she was telling me, well, Joe, you know, relationships are hard. This is the real world. And because she had the degree, I'm like, well, you know what? She's the expert. So I'll listen to her. Uh-huh. Valuable learning lesson for me, because I learned that when my gut, my intuition is telling me something, I don't care what anybody else is saying, I'm going to listen to my gut and intuition. So as a result of that, you know, really stepped out of my own life kind of as an observer. And the truth was, I was responsible for the situation I was in. My ex never put a gun to my head. She never forced me to stay. She was telling me what I wanted to hear. But my reality, my truth was, I knew it wasn't the relationship I wanted, but I stayed from a place of fear. And I was like, you know what? I'm never going to do this again, because I was so unhappy in that relationship. I'm like, I'm never going to ask another woman to marry me if I know she doesn't have all the things that I need. And that took me on a journey to discover a process that I call the checklist for love, which is literally, if you're going to spend the rest of your life with someone, what is it that I need? Because everybody has these preferences, these things that they want, and they have this list of like 98 things.
Right.
When, you know, those things are great, but do they really matter? You know, if you're going to spend the rest of your days with someone, if they like Bon Jovi, you know, if you like the same music, is that really vital? Is that really going to make or break your relationship? So it's really about getting clear on what you need. So I created this process. I came up with a list of 7 things. And I said, I'm never going to ask another woman to marry me unless she had everything on that list. And the cool part is once I got clear, dating became, it was like clothes shopping. It's like, do you have my buying criteria? No, if not, I'm going to put you back on the rack. I'm just going to put you, you know, I'm just going to move on. Mm-hmm. So it took that uncertainty. Well, is this the right one? Maybe I should give him another chance. And, you know, because you listen to everybody at that point, you know, because I was successful, I had my practice, I had my doctorate, you know, people like, you know, and I knew what kind of partner I wanted. But then because I hadn't had a relationship in a while, people said, well, you know, you're picky. You really need to compromise. And it started getting in my head. And I'm like, well, maybe I am. Maybe I am asking for too much. And that's why I got with my ex. And that's why I ignored a lot of the red flags because, well, you know, nobody's perfect. Everybody's got their stuff. And so I made excuses because I listened to everybody else. So as a result of that, I just got clear. I started dating. And when I met my wife, I just sat back and said, okay, this is the kind of person I'm looking for. And the more I dated her, the more she revealed that she was the person I was looking for. And here we are, you know, 16 years, we're together 18 years, married 16. And our relationship is so ridiculously easy.
Oh.
It's not even funny. And wow. That's kind of how I got on this path is because in my chiropractic practice, a lot of my single patients would come in and would say, because they saw what my relationship was with my ex. They were like with me through it all.
Yeah.
And they saw my relationship with my wife, Natalie. After our first son was born, she was working in the office. And they're like, you know what? I don't get it. Like that relationship you had before was like completely different. And now you've got this relationship. Like it's, you can see how much you love each other, how you work together, how easy your relationship is. What caused that to happen? And my answer at the time was, well, I married the right person for the right reason.
Uh-huh.
And I, you know, and yes, I knew about my needs, uh-huh, but I didn't really understand the whole process behind this. And then I started sharing it with my single practice members and all of a sudden they started getting results. And I'm like, And then one of them came back and said, you know, you need to share this. You need to teach this.
Yeah.
I knew nothing about it. I was a chiropractor. But then I started looking at what was out there and the shit that people were saying. And I'm like, you know what? It's not about getting a guy or catching a guy. It's about getting the right guy. Because statistically, 85% of people who get married will never have the happy, fulfilling marriage and relationship that they really wanted. Everybody knows about the 50% divorce rate. But what they don't know, there's another part of that equation where 35% of people who stay together admit that if they had to go back and remarry their spouse, they wouldn't.
Oh.
To me, that's sad.
Absolutely. You
know, and I've been in one of those relationships and I know what it's like to be like that. And I'm like, you know what? Being in the 15% is really cool. And people hear that and go, well, that's depressing. Like only 15% of people who get married actually have the kind of marriage that they want. That's sad. No, it's only sad if you're in the 85%.
Yeah.
If you're in the 15%, then that 85% doesn't matter. It's kind of like if you're a multimillionaire, it doesn't matter that people are struggling with their finances because you're doing okay. So, you know, if you're listening, we just do this kind of work to inspire you and say it can happen, but you got to learn how to do some things different. So that's the version.
Well, so glad you're here to help everyone improve their odds so that they can be in that 15%.
Look, if I can do it, you know, anybody can do it.
Well, and you mentioned something, and because I want to ask you how come, you know, most marriages fail, 85% of marriages fail. I want to talk about that, but looking at, you mentioned the 7 things. Now, are those 7 things that work for everybody? Or are you saying there's 7 things for you? Or is it different for everybody? Or what are those 7 things?
There are some similarities that people have. Like everybody wants to be valued and appreciated. Everybody wants to be respected. Everybody wants a man of integrity. So there are some core needs that every human being, that every woman has, every man has. But then there are some needs that are intrinsic to different individuals. Like one of my needs was I needed someone who was fun, adventurous, and open-minded. Because the way I live my life, being a chiropractor, we didn't live a traditional life. We lived very holistic lives. Doesn't mean that we didn't eat Twinkies and we didn't go to the doctor. It's just we try to do the natural approach, the holistic approach first. So I needed someone who was open to that. So, and not someone who, and that was one of my challenges with my ex because she was under the impression, well, I had to be this way to be with him. And I never put a gun to her head because I wanted her to be on the same page. but she did it begrudgingly, thinking that, you know, she had to be that person and it wasn't who she authentically was. So she basically put on a show. She misrepresented herself. So, you know, for those women out there who saying, oh, guys put, you know, misrepresent themselves, you know, the circus is the same. The clowns are different.
Is without that really being authentic? If you're right, not being authentic, you're not in the right relationship.
Yeah. And so when I first met my wife, she didn't understand about a lot of that, but I exposed her to it. And the more she opened her mind and the more she researched and the more she was around me in my environment, she was like, you know what? This really makes sense to me. It resonates with me. And I want to live this way too. And so I didn't have to force her. I didn't have to make her be anything. It was a natural expression of who she was. So, you know, so to get back to your question, there are some things that are intrinsic to everybody.
Right.
And then there are some things that are different for each individual.
Okay, great. And I'm sure you'll talk more about that as we go along. So going back to why do 85% of most marriages fail?
So the simple question or the simple answer is they pick the wrong person for the wrong reasons.
Okay.
I mean, it's really, as human beings, we are wired for something called love and connection. So we come into this world, it's in our DNA, it's in our nervous system. So we want to love and we want to be loved. So because of that desire that's born within us, we have this craving to find someone to love us and for us to love. And so because of that, we very often pick the wrong person. We're not taught. And so what we're doing, it's like being hungry. It's like, well, I'm hungry. So, oh, you know what? There's this Snickers bar. I'm going to eat that.
Right.
Okay. And when you eat it, go, oh, this is really good. I love Snickers. But then you keep eating Snickers and you wind up that, you know what? Your jeans don't fit. You go on the scale and you have a hard time walking up the stairs. Because in that moment, the Snickers was satisfying. You know, I'm going to get a plug for Snickers there. But it didn't lead to the fulfillment, the love, the experience that you really wanted. And that's what most people do in their relationships is because, you know, I truly believe, you know, the majority of people who walk down the aisle and say, I do, to death to us, truly believe that they're going to be married for the rest of their lives. Now, I'm sure, you know, and talked to a lot of women, worked with a lot of, there are some women and men who know, I knew I was making a mistake. You know, I knew that day when I was going to get married, I knew I was making a mistake, but I was too afraid to cancel, whatever it may be. So not everybody goes in with thinking they are going to last. Some people go in knowing it's just a matter of time before it ends. So because of that, most people pick the wrong person and then try to make that relationship work until they get to the point where they're just like, they're in so much pain emotionally, where it's like, I can't do this anymore.
So from what you're saying, I mean, we know a lot of people just seem to struggle in their love lives. Why is that? Why do most women struggle when it comes to their love lives?
Okay, so now we're going to go a little deeper because what happens in life, we look at the surface. Like, and you can pick any area. You can pick a person's health and fitness, their finances, their relationships, their career. The surface is, why do I struggle? Why do I struggle? I just can't meet somebody. That's the surface level. Underneath that is what's called an unconscious identity. So if a person doesn't believe they're good enough, or it usually comes down to one or two subconscious or unconscious beliefs. It's, I'm not good enough, or I won't find the love that I really want.
Yes.
And so because of that, it's like a program, it's like a computer. That's how they're programmed. And every choice or decision that they make is out of it. This is why people listening to this will go, I know he's not right for me. I know he's not loving me the way I want to be loved, but I can't get rid of him. And I don't understand why. And you're right. You don't understand why, because you're trying to use your conscious mind and you're not operating from the conscious part of your brain. You're operating from your unconscious. So you're on autopilot, just doing what your brain is programmed to do. And so again, you can look at health, you can look at weight, fitness, career, money. It's literally like a thermostat and you wind up to where you've been set.
So if someone is listening to you and hearing you talk about this, what if she's saying, well, how do I know if I have that belief or not? If it's unconscious, how do I uncover it? How do I know if that's not driving my decisions?
Right. So it's a great question. If you want to know what you truly believe, look at the results you've been getting in your love life. Okay. So if you keep dating the same jerks, okay, it's because something's going on that causes you to pick those jerks. Okay. if you are not attracting any guys. This is one thing I hear. You know, there's no great guys out there. There's no quality men out there. Okay. Well, if you believe that, then that's what you're going to find. You're going to find evidence. The way your brain is like Google, it'll find evidence to support what you believe. So you really, and that's the beautiful part. Just sit back and see what's happening in your life. Your results that you experience or that you're not experienced are a reflection of your subconscious or unconscious beliefs. So that's a great place to start.
Well, you were just adjusting your glasses, and I was thinking, well, that's kind of what it's like. It's like you're putting on those glasses. Oh, all men. I think you were saying there are no good men. There are no good men out there. If you're seeing through that, well, I guess that's what you're going to see, right?
You know, I always tell whenever I work with someone, if you stood in front of the mirror and you said that I'm ugly and I'm useless, what are the odds that you'd really attract somebody if that's what you truly believed? Okay. So if you said I'm stupid, what would be the odds of you getting good grades? Like, that's just how you're wired. And so just simply observe. It literally is getting to the truth. Just observing without judgment. Nobody's doing this intentionally. You know, it's one of the things I hear all the time is, oh my God, I'm afraid of what I'm going to have to deal with. I'm like, you should be more afraid of what happens if you don't deal with it. And the beautiful part is it's not really difficult. It's just a matter of sitting back, observing, go, oh, that's what I'm doing. That's what I believe. I need to fix that. What do I need to learn? What do I need to do differently?
Yeah. So how can someone shift that then? If they, discover that, then go, right. Wow, that's how I've been dating through that. How could they shift that?
They really have to, if they don't know how to do it, they have to find someone who knows how to do it.
Get some coaching, get some help.
It's a lot of, you can go and try and figure it out, but then you got to weed through all the crap. You got to know what's legit and what's not legit. It's simply better to find somebody who specializes, who knows exactly what to do and work with them.
Okay, great. So is this the underlying cause behind the struggles, or is there anything else?
For 95% of the people, absolutely. It's the unconscious fear is I'm not enough, and then I won't find the love that I really want. You know, that's why people they stay in relationships. It's because I might not find somebody else. I'm going to be alone.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier talking to women and that women are saying there are no good men out there, or where are all the conscious men? And I know that you have something to say about the difference between dating a boy and dating a man. So can you talk a little bit about that? How can a woman discriminate? What's the difference between the two?
Okay, so think of it, and how I kind of came up with this concept is a couple of years ago, my son was little. He was about 8. And, you know, like most 8-year-olds, he wanted what he wanted when he wanted it. And we had to go to a family function, and he didn't want to go, and he wanted to watch the game or something like that. And I was just like, you know what? You're just being a spoiled little brat. Like, you know, you can't just do what you want when you want, how you want. Like, we were going to a family member's 50th birthday, and it's like, you know what? You got to come. You don't like it? That's tough. You got to come. And so it made me realize, you know, that's how a lot of guys act. It's like they want when they want it. Yeah. And it's like, you know what? What you want doesn't matter. That you want a relationship, that doesn't matter to me because I don't want to be committed. I just want to have sex. I want to be irresponsible. I don't want to keep my agreements. They literally like are emotional boys. And so that's really the way you have to see them. You have to see them as they may look like a man, but emotionally, and as far as being a healthy relationship partner, they're like little boys. And the beautiful part is they're very transparent. Like you just sit back, you keep your eyes and ears open. I always say, keep your eyes and ears open and your legs closed. And a man will show you if he's a boy or if he's a man.
Yes.
So, you know, if that'll just make your life so much easier. Because if you just sit back and go, okay, are you a boy or are you a man? Mm-hmm. You're going to weed out 95% of the crap because they're going to show you real quick.
You know, I was going to ask you, so what are the qualities of a man? If a woman's on a date, how does she know, oh, this is a man?
Right. So the first thing is that he's respectful. You know, he treats a woman like a person, not like a convenience. He doesn't treat her like an object. Okay. Mm-hmm. The other thing, he's unselfish. Okay? Because boys are very selfish. It's what they want, when they want, how they want. Now, that doesn't mean that a man occasionally doesn't say, you know what, hey, I'd like to go to the game with my buddies. But when he does that, he understands that, you know what, we're in a relationship, so I got to make sure that you're happy. that we talk about this, we work it out. So it doesn't mean that a man never does what he wants to do. Is he understands that if he wants to do what lights him up or what makes him happy, then he sits and he acknowledges his partner. You know, I'll be completely honest. I'm a very selfish guy, but I know because if I'm not selfish, then I'm a shitty husband. I'm a crappy father. I'm a crappy friend. I'm a crappy coach. I'm a crappy neighbor. I'm a crappy, like all of that. So it's like, I got to take care of me first so I can be there for everybody else.
Yeah. So
there's a time where I have to say, hey, you know what? I understand, you know, you need me, but you know what? Sorry. And so that unselfishness is really, really important. Big one is integrity. Mm-hmm. You know, a man keeps his agreements. Now that doesn't mean that a man won't drop the ball. Doesn't mean that a man will say something and then not do it, but then he'll come back and he'll take ownership for it. He'll take responsibility. And it won't be all the time because some boys will go, oh yeah, I said I was going to call, and they'll give you some bullshit excuse. So they're like, okay, well, I told you, you know, I made the excuse, so it's okay now. And then they'll do the same thing 3 days later.
Yeah.
And then 3 days later. So when you start seeing that a man's making agreements and then dropping the ball and then making excuses and making agreements and dropping the ball and making excuses to drop the ball, that's telling you that this guy really doesn't have integrity.
Yeah.
So that's a good one.
Now, do you think that if a woman, because as you're talking, I think there's a lot of bad behavior out there and what we would call boys. And I think that sometimes they might be getting away with it because there are some women who maybe are putting up with it. And so, you know, they kind of figure like, well, it seems to be working, so why change?
Right.
And do you think that if a woman is coming from a place where she really has integrity with herself, she really respects herself, she has good boundaries, she knows what she's seeking in a partner, she's gotten through her checklist of 7 things, and she shows up like that on a date and has her boundaries and what she's seeking, do you think that if a boy sees this amazing woman and she's really a stand for herself, that sometimes he might choose to become a man because, wow, this is such an incredible woman? Does that ever happen?
Yes. I use the analogy that if a person jumps off the bridge, they may live. It can happen.
Okay.
But the odds are, and the reality is for most, they don't make it.
Okay.
So that's why I'm a big believer in simply finding the guy who naturally gives you what you need.
Yeah.
Because, and it has to do with understanding human behavior and why we're wired and how we get our emotional needs met, is people ultimately revert back to who they are. So the only time a man will change is when he realizes that losing that woman is going to cause him pain in his life.
Uh-huh.
And that if he doesn't change, his life is going to be worse. So he has to have that realization. Mm-hmm. And then he actually has to go do the work to change. And I can tell you with my ex, even though she wanted to change and she tried to change, at the end of the day, she didn't. And that's really what helped me figure out that, you know, I just want to find the person who naturally gives me what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
But one of the things I hear all the time from women is, you know, why can't men change? And, you know, mm-hmm. kind of piggyback on what you were saying.
Yes.
And I'm going to be blunt here, but because you women keep allowing them to get away with shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like, let's pull out the bullshit detector. It's like, you know what? You want men to change? Here. Here's a simple strategy. Okay. Every woman on the planet to stop letting men get away with the shit that they get away with. Okay. Because then what's going to happen? Guys
just
are
say
go,
no.
Yeah. Right. Because then what's going to happen? Guys are going to go, oh shit. I got one choice. I got two choices. I either turn gay or I change.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem is because women, some women, not all women, but some women keep, and guys know this. It's like, oh, you know what? You don't give me what you want. I'll go get it from somebody else.
Yeah.
And they just move on to the next one. There's an actual theory. It's called the wounded deer. And there are guys who are out there who know how to prey on women who have low self-worth, low self-esteem, who are emotionally needy.
Mm-hmm.
And so guys know how to, that's what scamming is. You know, online dating, you know, all the scamming, that's what it is. Is guys know how to prey. There's a profile for these women and they know exactly what to tell them.
So, and it's not to be, you know, going into dating thinking, oh my God, I'm going to get scammed or this guy's going to try and play me or whatever. But I think it's just what you're saying is just know there are bad actors out there. There are these boy men, and to just take a stand for what it is you're wanting, what it is you're needing. If the guy is not showing you that's who he is, just thank you and move on. Don't take it personally. And there are some really fantastic men out there who can meet your needs. So just say no. So to help women to continue to know who to avoid and to say no to, can you tell us about the 5 types of emotionally unavailable men to help them even further hone their radar?
Right. And so that's the gift that we have for those who are listening today. What it really is because women, again, because of their big hearts and because of their desire to be with a man and to love and to be loved, very often don't see the red flags, especially in the beginning, because guys know how to tell women what they want to hear and they know how to put on a show and the chemistry takes over and their libido gets active and the hormones start raging, and the signs very often aren't there. So I've written this report called The 5 Types of Emotionally Unavailable Guys, where it just talks about the emotional state of a man. There's like the wounded child, and that's the guy who, from when he was little, and this is where a lot of individuals' stuff is because they come into this world, they want nothing more to be unconditionally loved and accepted for who they are, and they don't get that. And so then they're like, well, what's wrong with me? And so what they do is their heart becomes broken. And so they put up a wall. And where it's like, you know, hey, I loved, I opened up and I got crushed. And so I ain't going to do this again. And so there literally there's a wounded child in them. And uh-huh. No matter how much you love someone like that, no matter how much you do cook their food, do their laundry, make their bed, have a great, amazing, passionate sex, if he's emotionally wounded, and until he does the work to overcome that, he's going to be
fix it. Yeah. Correct.
Right. Then there's like the victim. That's the guy who blames everybody and everything. Like it's nothing is ever his fault.
Uh-huh.
A client who was out on a first date and, you know, she read this report. She's like, it's like, it's amazing. Cause she was on this date and this guy was blaming everybody and everything.
Wow.
And she's like, you know what? I just realized that I had to walk away. She's like, but in the old day, I would have sat there. I would have laughed. I would have, you know, started a conversation because he was kind of cute.
Uh-huh.
She's like, now I saw the red flags that this guy was a victim. And she's like, I realized that I was the next person he was going to be blaming.
Oh.
So, you know, then you get, you know, what I call the stud. That's the guy who thinks his, you know, his poop doesn't smell. And, you know, he's all that. And you know, he's kind of like almost like a narcissist. And it's like, uh-huh. You know, the woman's got to be perfect, you know, perfect hair, perfect teeth, perfect boobs, perfect butt. And if she doesn't
perfect. It's a lot of pressure.
Right. Doesn't meet that perfect criteria. He's not going to deal with her because he's got the pick of the litter. So, you know, then you got the avoider. That's the guy who runs and, you know, it's like, oh, a commitment. You know, I'm not looking for a commitment. I'm not ready for commitment. And look, anytime a guy tells you, you know, I'm not looking for a relationship. I'm not looking for a commitment. Believe him. Now, I know you can say, well, you had your girlfriend's next door neighbor's cousin's firstborn child who was met a guy and that guy said he didn't want a commitment and she wound up marrying him. Again, you can jump off a bridge and you can live. It is possible, but the odds are against you. So you know, I'm not big in playing Russian roulette with your life.
That's right.
You know, so it's like, you know, just do things a certain way and find the right guy, you know, because again, getting back to what you said is that there's no quality men out there.
Yeah,
they are out there. The difference is they're not hanging out with their buddies at the bar going, oh, I just can't meet a great quality woman. They're just living their life.
Mm-hmm.
And they're frustrated. You know, I was a guy, I was single for a while. You know, I wanted someone special to share my life with, and I couldn't find someone. And I went into a lot of crap that good guys go through. You know, well, you know, I didn't have the perfect hair. You know, I didn't have, you know, the perfect washboard abs and big biceps. You know, wasn't the perfect male specimen. And got a lot of shit for that, or got rejected for that a lot. But I also learned, you know, nobody can reject you without your permission.
Oh, that's a really good one.
So it's
nobody
like, you know,
reject you without your permission.
Yeah, really, so if somebody doesn't want to be with you, it's like, to me, it's like, oh, I'm chocolate ice cream. You want strawberry. That doesn't mean that chocolate isn't good. It's just, you're not the right one for me and I'm not the right one for you.
Yeah.
And so, but you know, very often, oh, he rejected me. Well, that's because on some level, you got some stuff you need to deal with because you just weren't the right person for him. So he did you a favor because mm-hmm. now you don't have to invest your time and your energy on some guy who's not going to love you the way you want to be loved.
Right. Yes. You want to be with someone who actually appreciates who we are and what we have to offer. Why would you want to be with someone who doesn't? Absolutely.
Well, you know, and that's another thing that you were like, I got to be, you know, 36, 24, 36. And I'm like, if you believe that, go sit at the mall this weekend and sit by the food court and watch couples go by and watch how you see there's a woman who may not be as pretty as you. Like if you had to be really honest, or she's bigger than you, but she's got a special guy by her side. She's got a ring on her finger.
And she's happy.
And she's happy.
Yeah.
Because she found the right guy for her. And that's what you have to focus on, finding that one right guy. And when you focus more on that, you focus on the solution. What do I need to learn? What do I need to do differently? Then focus on there's no good ones out there. I have a history. I just picked the wrong guys. Well, that's what your belief is. That's what you're going to keep experiencing.
Oh, yeah, it's so true. So important. And I appreciate you underscoring that you should believe what a man says. And if he says he's not ready for a commitment, believe him. I think a lot of times women will hear that and they hear through this filter of, well, if I'm just patient enough, I'll wait it out, he'll be ready. Or if I just show him how great I am, or, once we've been together for long enough, then he'll be ready. So I think this advice is really good. Just to believe him when he says it. And which takes me to, there are some men who have a hard time committing. And can you talk about this myth that men can't or won't commit? Because I do hear that a lot as well from women.
Right. And again, it's a misperception. And I can't remember. I was reading a study the other day. I think there's over 2 million weddings every year in the United States, which means
two
2 million guys walk down the aisle committing their life to someone. And again, statistically, a lot of those don't, the majority of those don't work out. But the intention is, hey, I'm going to commit. We're going to get married and plan to share our lives together. Mm-hmm. So it's not that guys don't commit. Again, the boys, the guys who are mostly unavailable, who are selfish, they're not looking for commitment. They're not ready for commitment. But there are a lot of great guys out there who take this commitment stuff seriously. Like, we look at it and go, you know what? This is some serious stuff. Like, I'm committing the rest of my life to one woman and one woman only, which means I'm going to share every day with that woman, which means I'm only going to have sex with that woman, which means I'm going to only have dinner with that woman. Like, all of this with this one woman for the rest of my life. So that's some serious stuff. So before we take that plunge, we got to really make sure that this is the right person for me. And if a man feels that in his heart, because remember, we're all wired for love and connection. We're all wired to love and to be loved. Mm-hmm. So if a man feels that and it's like, you know what? This woman, my life is better with her in it than without it. And my life would be miserable without her. I want her in my life. Because she meets my needs, she gives me what I need to be happy. When a man truly feels like that, he will have no problem with committing to that woman.
So if a woman is dating someone and to her it seems like it's going well and they've been together for a significant amount of time, but he's not committing, do you recommend that a woman brings that up? Or do you think that it's up to the man to bring it up? Should it be a negotiation? What do you recommend to a woman?
Right. Well, here's one of the things I always say is, if you do a preemptive strike before this, you never get to that point. One of the problems with that is people don't do their due diligence up front. Like, okay, well, ultimately, what are you looking for from this relationship? And again, it's just having a conversation. He's a human being. He has a life. He has the right to decide whatever he wants. So you want to have a conversation with that. Now, just because a guy tells you that doesn't mean it's going to be true, but that's where you observe. So if you're in that situation where you're already down the road and you didn't do that up front, that's really your own call. I never tell anybody what to do because it's your life and I respect your right to do things on your turn, but I tell this is what I would do. So if I was in a situation with someone and it was at that point where, and I call it, the shit or get off the pot, where it's like, hey, we're going to do this or, we're going to go our own ways. To have that conversation, to just say, what are you looking for? Like, I know what I want. See, it's not an ultimatum. An ultimatum is that I want to get married. You need to propose to me or I'm going to leave you. That's an ultimatum because that guy doesn't have a choice.
Right.
It's like, look, what do you want? I know what I want. And if you don't want this, that's okay. But if you don't want this, then I need to move on.
Yes.
See, now that's not an ultimatum because now that guy has a choice.
Right.
Okay. He doesn't have to. You're saying is you don't have to do it. I'm not forcing you to do it. An ultimatum is I'm forcing you to do what I want you to do.
Which feels like a lot of pressure too.
Right. And a lot of guys will go, and again, if a guy is real serious, one of two things will happen. He'll go, you know what? Screw you. Don't, you know, this is a big decision. Don't force me and tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Or he'll do it because he's afraid of losing that person. Mm-hmm. And then he wasn't ready to do it. And then he'll wind up resenting her. As like, see, I didn't want to do this. You forced me to do it. And he'll be the victim because, you know, well, you forced me to do it, where he could have said, no, I'm not ready for it. So I'm not a big believer in like ultimatums or, you know, telling people what to do or how to do it. But if you're at that point, just simply having a conversation, again, getting clear, what do you want? Because either that person is on the right path or they're not. And if you pick the right person and start from the beginning, that it's a natural process. It just happens. You know, my wife and I never had a conversation. When are we going to get engaged? When's this going to, because from the beginning we were told, what do you want? You know, what's your goal? Why we met on online dating, match.com. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, why are you here? What are you all to look? I knew from reading her profile that she was looking to meet the right guy and ultimately to get married and have a family. So from the get-go, I knew, oh, this is the kind of woman that I'd like to get to know better, that may be the right one, but I don't know. Let me date her. But it was just a natural, easy evolution. You know, and then as we were dating, it's like, okay, you know, if we were to get married, you know, do you want to have kids? Like, you know, we talked about all that stuff. I think it was just a conversation between two adults. You know, the biggest thing I see, Cammy, is we have really, really emotionally unhealthy, immature people trying to build relationships. And that's why so many fail.
Well, I like what you were just saying, that it was an easy, healthy, natural conversation. And I think that that's a really big red flag if you can't have that kind of conversation. If that sort of thing comes up and it becomes like, oh, I can't talk about that right now, or, oh, well, it's not a good time to talk about that, or why are you bringing that up? That's sort of a really good sign that you're maybe with someone who doesn't want to talk about those things. And why be in relationship with someone if you're wanting that and the other person doesn't even want to talk about it, or makes you feel bad for bringing it up, or you're uncomfortable? I like that you said, no, it should be easy. I mean, we're two adults. We're living our lives as adults. If we can't talk about what we're creating and shaping in our lives, then that's kind of silly.
Yeah. I think life is hard enough to be in a relationship, and I can understand because I was in one of those relationships. To be in a relationship where you have to work that hard to try and make it work is exhausting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, anything else that you would like to add to support women who are here, who are wanting to have this kind of relationship that's easy and effortless, to find the right guy? Any last words?
Yeah, I think the thing that I would like to leave everybody with is, you know, there's this belief out there, like, what do I need to do to find the right guy? Like, where do I need to go? What do I need to do? And it's not what you need to do. It's who do you need to be? You need to be the woman that is going to attract that right guy, so that when he sees you and he comes across your path, he realizes that, you know what, there's a lot of other women out there, but I don't care because this woman's amazing. And And being with her makes me happy and makes my life better. So and stop focusing on what do you need to do and start taking a good look in the mirror and say, am I being that partner? Like the kind of guy I'm looking for, would he commit right now if he showed up in my life? Why would he commit to me? Like, what is it about me? And I'll say, because I'm pretty, I got a nice personality, I've got a good heart, I like dogs. Like, really, what's going to make him want to say, you know what? I want to get to know you and only you, and I don't care that there's any other women out there. Because I promise you, when you are being that woman and you're putting yourself, and now we're getting into quantum physics and energy and all that, but you're resonating, you're vibrating at that level, that's when you attract the kind of guys that you're looking for.
Oh, that's so powerful. That's a great place to end. That is a great place to end. So for anybody who is wanting to do this, who really wants to be that woman who is going to attract that kind of a man, who wants to learn more, who would love to work with you, can you just remind everybody about your free gift, please?
Sure. So again, we're all talking about screening men and how to differentiate between the boys and the men. So there's a special report I've written called The Five Types of Emotionally Unavailable Guys. Because if you just get better at screening men and identifying the red flags, your dating life is going to be so much easier.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for that. And thank you for our conversation and all of the incredible value and insight and information that you've shared today. I think it's been really enlightening. Thank you for being with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity to be here with you and your listeners today.
Thank you. And thank you to all of you who are with us, listening, watching. Really appreciate you being here with us for the Ultimate Love Life Makeover Summit. After you take advantage of Joe's gift, the 5 types of emotionally unavailable men, which you can find just below what you're watching or listening to. There's a link below. You can click on that to take advantage of that. And after you do that, make sure that you check out details about how to own the Ultimate Love Life Makeover Summit. You can learn more by scrolling down below. You can get all the details on the page, or you can go to ultimatelovelifemakeover.com/VIP. And be sure to come back and join us for more of the Ultimate Love Life Makeover. Thanks so much for being with us. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you.